so that he shall be called the least in the kingdom. But whosoever for shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to place yourself, if you can, in the period of time where Jesus is saying, if you don't do better than those that are leading you, these scribes, these Pharisees, if you don't do better, you're not going to get into heaven. He was trying to say that things were not going the way they should go. James writes in chapter 4 and verse 17 of his letter, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and not to do it, or doeth it not, to him it is sin. He's simply pointing out that when we're taught the things that are right and we know those things, we should not go against them. You know that Paul writes in Romans chapter 3 and at verse 10, he's just again telling us what the prophets had said before, that there is none righteous, no, not one. You can read that in Psalm 14, 1 through 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. Or at verse 23 of the same chapter, Romans, for all have sinned and come short, or fallen short, says the King James, of the glory of God. And not everybody, Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now we're trying to emphasize the point that while we know that Jesus is the Savior, and that Jesus has come to save us, we still have some obligations. We still have some responsibilities to follow the teaching that Jesus has given. In fact, that's what he was correcting them about, because many of the things that they were being taught were not what the old law really meant, nor what they, and they were not being taught the truth of the matter. In the book of Matthew 15, at verses 8 and 9, this is a quotation of Isaiah 29 and verse 13, where Jesus says, this people draws close to me, nigh unto me, with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts, anybody seeing it? Their hearts were far from me. Their thoughts were not there. Now, I don't mind telling you that when you're living the life, that there are a lot of times when you know the right thing to do, and you kind of have to struggle, or shall I say, war within yourself about getting the right thing done. Sometimes it interrupts what you're wanting to do. Sometimes it goes against what all of the circumstances or things around you may have brought to your attention. And yet, this is telling us that that's the wrong thing to do. That is, that we must learn to be the kind of people who do the will of the Father, that our hearts, our minds, are focused upon Him. Jesus would say, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Or another great place is chapter 6 and verse 33 of the book of Matthew, where we're told, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You know that great passage in Romans 1, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and then to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, for therein is revealed, is the righteousness, that is, of God revealed. And even as it is written, from faith to faith, the judge or the just shall live by faith. When it comes to being right with God, when it comes to being right, there will be no exceptions when it comes to the demand of what Christ has taught us. That's what Jesus was teaching them. Another place you might find this is again in the third chapter of the book of John. A second exception I'll point out this morning. Except a man be born again. You know this passage. You remember the man Nicodemus who came to Jesus that night. And he came asking him that question. He said, Rabbi or teacher, we know that, we just know that no man can do the things that thou doest except that God be with you. Now, sometimes in our lives, we might experience some of that. Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's that word, except. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answers and says, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First of all, he says you can't see the kingdom. You know he's not talking about this kind of see. He's talking about understanding, isn't he? If you don't understand what the kingdom is about, you can't enter in. And the only way that happens, he says, except for a person to be born of water and of the Spirit. That's what Jesus commanded. This is an exception. Unless you do this, this will not happen for you. In the first chapter of John, in the beginning, verses 1 through 3, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made at all. Everything's surrounds who Jesus is. And if you read further down, you know that Jesus came into his own. It says his own received him not, but to as many as who did, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That's verse 12, chapter 1. And then at verse 14, we learn that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Begotten, monogenous, the idea of being the child of God. And this word begotten is really an important concept because it speaks about conception. I'll say some more about that in just a minute. We sing a song, Tommy leads it a lot, about I think it's called the Lamb of God, but your only son, is that it? Has no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. God sent him. That was God's only begotten son, conceived by God. Whosoever, 1 John 5, verses 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you love the Father, you have to love the Son. That's what it says. And by this we know the love that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. These exceptions that come into our life and put us into play with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Greek word of begattle has its reference to the idea of conception. Born, of course, is a reference to a physical kind of birth. Men begat, women bear. Men begat, women bear. That was the way God set it into motion. All of that involves some kind of a seed. In the animal kingdom, we call it the sperm. When the sperm is planted, it finds itself fertilized in the egg. Conception begins. Now the scientists, or maybe a lot of the world, want to tell us that life doesn't really begin until that child gets here. Wrong. Life begins at conception. Why? Because that's what God said. This is the way it takes place. I understand that it's a growth process that is within the womb. I understand that it's possible that the baby might miscarry and might not ever come into life as we know it. But never, ever, ever swallow this pill that that child is not alive in the womb of a mother. I get an amen. Brethren, we're being sold a bill of goods. I mean, the world is. I don't mean you. But they're trying to sell that to people. In the vegetable kingdom, it's the pollen. Here's a plant lady. I'm looking at her because she knows all that about that gardening. She's got a good helper, I know. But nonetheless, she knows, she understands that. Those flowers, those things you put in the ground have to pollinate. They don't pollinate, they don't reproduce. Why? That's the way God put it into motion. Do I understand it? Why, me and Joe, why, we just eat the groceries. Amen, Brother Joe? Bring it in from the garden, put it in the pot, and we'll gobble it up, won't we, Bobby? You better know it. May not understand how it all happens, but we enjoy it when it gets here. In the spiritual kingdom, last thing I want to say, and we'll be done for today. We read this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Talking about exceptions. Now, the parable of the sower. This is the great story about the sower goes forth to sow and pitches the seed. And you'll find four kinds of soils that are there. There's the wayward soil where it says the seed can be picked up by the birds and they fly, they eat it. There's the rocky soil. It's shallow. The plant can't grow because the roots can't sink. There's the thorny ground where the seed gets thrown and the thorns choke out the plants. And then there is the fertile or the good ground. The good ground revealed, you see, to us by God our Father. First the seed, and then the receptivity. Now, I don't know where you stand on Tom Brady, but you notice that they never say anything about the receivers. Oh yeah, they talk about one who caught so many passes, so many yards, but they never talk, when they're talking Tom Brady, they're talking about Tom Brady's completions. Now, what if Tom Brady had Bob Payne for a receiver, I guarantee there wouldn't be no 10 Super Bowls. You know what I'm talking about. He's not by himself. He's got to have somebody to catch that thing. He's got to have somebody to complete that. And I'm telling you, that's the way God puts these things into motion. It's not dependent on just one thing. It takes everything to come into being. In James 1 and verse 18, I think you'll find it says that of his own will begat he us with the word. Remember what we said? Word is the seed. With the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In 1 Peter, it says in chapter 1, verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Listen, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Now there are lots of other passages. I'll throw one other one in here. Isaiah 49, you read verses 1 through 5. You'll find this. Just read all of Isaiah 49. It's loaded. But he says, the Lord called me from the womb to be his servant. He called me from the womb. In Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5, he says, the word of the Lord came to me before I formed you in the belly. I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained you my prophet. Life doesn't begin here on the earth. It begins at conception. It's a growth process. And the mother bears a child. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing is of the word of God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, cannot please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Accept a person. It says, accept a man. But you go look up the Greek word and you'll find out that's the word for everybody, mankind. Accept a person, be born again or born anew. He cannot perceive and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the exception, not the rule. Well, I'm going to give you one last exception and we're through. Except you be converted and become like or as little children. Matthew 18 and verse 3, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what kind of thing is he talking about when he says to become like little children, to be converted? That would say, because we all started out, you know, I started out as a child. How about you? You started out as a child? You learn things as you're growing up. At least you're supposed to. They help us become adults and mature. To be converted means for us to be caused to be changed in form or character or function. Except you, he says, become converted, changed, and become like little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, let me share with you this. If you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you will find great response. Paul, as he's writing this, when he concludes, he says, "When I was a child," this is verse 11, let me read all of that, "for we know in part, we prophesy in part." That's after he's told us that love is everything, right? "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Well, that's pretty much telling me, us, Jesus not talking about becoming childish, except you be converted and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I'm known. There abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Paul is talking about something different here, that love overcomes all things. But Jesus wants us to be like little children. Well, I think that that probably is talking about little children that accept the teaching of a mom and a dad, a grandma and a grandpa, people that are around them. Well, their little humility. Now, that doesn't always include those strong-willed children, right? They're all a little different. But the idea is, when they grow up, they need to retain and remember what it was like as a little child, and to be obedient to mom and to dad. We're asked to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. There are exceptions. Yes, Jesus saves. Yes, Jesus loves all of us. Yes, Jesus wants everybody everywhere to be saved. But that will not negate the command or the exceptions as we've read here. I'm just trying to say to you, don't let another day go by when you know what's right to do and not do it. Do it, because that's what God put us here for, was to do His will. And when we do that together, last night on Facebook there was a post. I don't know who, except over at Little Caesars, somebody went over and paid for, I don't know how many, I think it was like 60 or 70 pizzas. It's about $300 worth of their $5 pizzas. You figure that up math-wise. I'm not messing with that. And then had them announce. It was on Facebook. It's on the radio, the local radio. Anybody who needs a hot meal, go to Little Caesars and get one, because there's one there waiting for you. That's a great example of people coming together and being what God has asked us to be, and that's people who love other people. Humble ourselves and help one another. I feel so blessed to be in a community, to be in an area where that kind of thing goes on. Many of you in the week called me and said, "Do we have people that need help? Because I can go help them." What a wonderful thing to know that there are people who are willing to do it. some biblical exceptions to do what God wants us to do. Unless you remain in the ship, you'll all likewise perish. I just want to encourage you, stay close to God, stay close to His people, so we can all enter heaven together.